shoppers. It's Angela Magasco, President and CEO of Market Viewpoint, coming to you once again in our monthly teleconferences, and you've clicked on or you've dialed into Merchandising and Mystery Shopping. Perfect together. Welcome to every single one of you who've tuned in. I know that you all have incredibly busy schedules. We're all slammed with work and family responsibilities and everything else that we have going on in our busy lives. And I just wanted to say the fact that you're taking the time to invest in yourself by being on these monthly calls already sets you apart from the competition out there. You're really doing a great thing for yourself by attending these teleconferences, and I just want to say congratulations. I am extremely excited about our call this month. So many of you have told us that you're looking for ways to make more money as independent contractors. Some of you have talked to me, others have talked to your account managers and our schedulers. Some of you have indicated on Facebook that, you know, you're all looking to make more money. And really, once that independent contractor bug has bitten you, you know, you get really used to the flexibility and the freedom and really the enjoyment of running your own small business. And folks, I'm here to tell you that you are all running small businesses. But before we get to the exciting part of our conference, and I am just really thrilled about this, we have the usual and customary housekeeping items. So if you'll indulge me for just a moment, let me just remind everybody that if you are on this call, you are muted, so don't worry. If you've got things going on in the background, if you're in the middle of making dinner or you've got other things going on, dogs barking or kitty cats meowing or kids playing, we can't hear it. So just relax and don't worry about it. The other thing that I want to say is please take lots of great notes. These teleconferences that we conduct each month are really intended to provide you, our shoppers, with information about our industry in a what I'm going to call a community-like setting. We want you to be incredibly successful at what you're doing. And it's also proven that when you write things down, you remember them. But more importantly, you act on them, especially if it's an actionable type of item. You know, if you hear something that makes sense to you, and if it's something that makes sense for the way you're doing business, or maybe it gets you to think about doing business just a little differently, write that idea down and then act on it right away. Taking that massive action and putting that idea into motion, that's how success is born. So the other housekeeping item that I want to share with everyone is if you are someone who uses Twitter or Facebook, I want to encourage you to be sort of interacting on those social media sites with us as we're on this call. If there are thoughts or ideas that you want to share with those who follow you on Twitter, and you've got an account there, we've created what they call a hashtag specifically for this event, and that hashtag is #MVP, as in Market Viewpoint Shop. So it's #MVP Shop. That's actually going to allow you to share those ideas and those things that you're going to hear us talking about tonight with those people who follow you on Twitter. We sent out a how to use hashtag email a little bit earlier this week in our invitations and our reminders and whatnot because we realized that some of you may want to participate in this, but you're just not quite sure how to do it. So for those of you who tweet, #MVPShop. So without further ado, let me introduce our very, very special guest on this teleconference call. It's Judy Adkins-Spears. Judy has written a book about the world of merchandising entitled Jumpstart Your Merchandising Career. And she's been a successful mystery shopper and merchandiser for many, many years. So this is an individual who truly knows what she's talking about. Judy has her MSPA, silver and gold certification, and she also has a certification as an undercover video specialist, along with her food safety certification, which we'll talk a little bit as the call goes on, because that's a certification that's very, very important, especially if you're going to be demonstrating food products. So Judy is actually a former teacher at a business college, and I'm just really excited to have someone with us on this call who has come from an academic background, who truly understands the importance of education and the things that we really need to get ahead. She's also taught at the high school and the middle school level. Along with Judy being just an incredible colleague and expert, certainly in the field of merchandising, I also feel like Judy has become just an incredibly dear friend. So, Judy, I just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you, Angela. Good to be here today.
Oh, I'm so glad. Judy, before we get to the heart of this interview, let me just share with the listeners what they're going to learn on this call. I know that you're going to spend some time sharing with the listeners what merchandising is. I think some people might have maybe a little bit of an idea, but I'm not sure that they fully understand the scope of what merchandising encompasses. So we're also going to talk about how to get work in the merchandising field and what an individual can expect to be paid. You know, what's sort of that fair and customary salary that you can expect. I know that we're also going to talk about what it's like to actually be on the job. And we're going to spend some time talking about how mystery shopping and merchandising are alike, how they're different, and how they're really, quite frankly, a perfect complement to each other, for folks who are out there as independent contractors in the field. So, Judy, let's get started. What the heck is merchandising?
Okay, whenever I tell some people, especially straight out in my family, when they would ask, say, what are you doing now? I say, okay, I'm a merchandiser. What is a merchandiser? I say, okay, the easiest thing I would tell them at the time is, okay, you know, if you go in your favorite store and look for your favorite shampoo or soap and it's not where it used to be, something else is there, it was a merchandiser came and moved it. But what I tell in my book as the definition is it's putting the right merchandise where the customer wants it, when they want it there, with enough of it so everybody can get all they need at the price that they want it. In other words, it's the price they'll pay for it, not exactly what they want it, but it's the price that they'll pay for it. So it's having it there when, like at Christmas time, to having enough of that toy that everybody's just got to have and having it at the price they'll pay for it, which sometimes is a lot more than us parents want to pay.
Exactly. I don't think you're going to get any argument from any of our listeners there, that's for sure. I know the other day I was at one of our local grocery stores here in Pennsylvania, and I happened to be sort of cruising through and kind of picking up my milk and my bread and my eggs, and I happened to come across a gentleman who was putting up a really lovely display of Easter candy, you know, the baskets and the candy and the grass and the, you know, all the spring candy, springtime, you know, season goodies. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, that guy is a merchandiser. And because I just got done reading your book, Jumpstart Your Merchandising Career, and I had a pretty good idea after reading your book, what to look for when I'm out there in the stores and I see people, you know, who are, stocking shelves, they're arranging things, and that's exactly what this guy was doing. So,
right. If you see somebody out there that's not dressed probably the same way as everybody else and all the other employees are, that's probably a merchandiser. They
gotcha.
Don't look just like everybody else does. That's probably a merchandiser.
Exactly. They're not wearing the same polo shirt that everybody else
right.
is, but they look very professional. That's exactly
right.
what this guy was, yeah. I know that our listeners are probably wondering just how plentiful the jobs are out there. You know, it's you know, sometimes when the economy gets a little tight, mystery shopping jobs, you know, tend to become a little bit more scarce. Can you share with our listeners why merchandising is a little bit different, and just give folks an idea of whether or not there's actually work out there in this area?
Okay, merchandising jobs are actually getting more plentiful all the time. This is caused by more than one reason. It's caused by the fact that the employees they hire in the stores are not trained to do this kind of work. They're not trained how to do, as learn a resets, rearranging the stores and the merchandise in the stores the way the company wants it done, and the fact that there's such a volume of tasks due to so much product competitiveness. There's so many different tasks that different companies want done. Everyone's trying to outdo the other one, that they need more people to go in and do them. They're all the time needing more people to go in and try to make them look better and more important than the next person.
Well, you know, it's true. I you know, certainly as I think about what you're saying, you know, when you go into stores, you know, some of our favorite department stores, you know, places like Target and places like Kohl's and, you know, Sears and some of the other places that are, you know, places where we all like to shop, it really is difficult to find people on the sales floor. I mean, we've really become a self-service society out there when it comes to retail. And, you know, sometimes it makes it a little bit hard, especially if you have questions about the merchandise or you're not quite sure where things are. But I kind of understand why companies you know, outsource or why they look for help as a way of you know, saving and cost-cutting measures, I guess, is really, you know, sort of the best way to put it.
Well, the companies, the store looks for cost-cutting measures by cutting down. They have so much, I'll say, largely it's due to the customers also that's causing a lot of this. But the fact that you and I know, we've seen people that pick up something and they go halfway around the store and they decide they don't want it and it just goes wherever they're standing.
Oh,
and
I hate that.
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
I don't know. My husband accuses me sometimes. I'll go look for something. I start straightening all around. He says, "You're not on the job now. Quit doing that." But it's just people do that. And so as a result, the employees are so busy doing that, they don't have time to do these other things that are needed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, I can't tell you how many times I'm walking down the bread aisle and I go to reach for a loaf of bread and there's a Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup shoved in there. You know, it's like, what the heck? You know?
Start doing things in the cosmetic aisle and out by when you get in behind the last row of shampoo and you find some a package of meat or something. They do that.
That's really horrible. Just incredibly wasteful too. I mean, to put meat there, it's obviously going to spoil, and that just makes me really sad. And it's one of the reasons why things are as expensive as they are.
Right.
So,
That's right.
Judy, this next question that I'm going to ask you, actually, I found extremely interesting in your book, the way you explained it, because I didn't realize this before. I always thought that a merchandiser was hired by the store, that Target would hire you or Kohl's would hire you. But can you explain to our listeners who a merchandiser actually works for and how that whole process is sort of arranged out there organizationally?
Okay, the merchandiser, they are hired by merchandising companies.
Okay.
And those companies, there are companies out there that all they do is hire merchandisers.
Okay.
Those companies are contracted by the companies that actually produce the goods, that actually make the shampoos, make the printers, the printer ink, whatever it is you're stocking.
Okay. Okay, and so like Procter & Gamble, Hewlett-Packard, manufacturers would contact these merchandising companies. Okay.
They contact the merchandising companies. They in turn hire the merchandisers. The merchandiser answers to the employer, the merchandising company. But if you go into a store and the store doesn't work the work done, then they can always refuse you doing the work. And you just say, okay, thank you, leave. And usually you'll get paid for it anyway, though, if they're the ones that decide they don't want it.
Right.
It just means something else they have to do, so it's very seldom.
Why would a store not want it, though? I don't understand that. I mean,
I don't know. Sometimes if it's a large store, like a Walmart, a large box store, they won't refuse you. A large grocery store, they won't refuse you. Sometimes you just get a little small store. Well, I say little small stores, but like Dollar General, Family General.
Sure, more mom
and
pop
things like
type.
That.
Yeah.
Things like that. They sometimes the managers, get little things. I don't know why they think I can't do my own work. You know how that goes. That's the only way you'll ever have that run into that. But, other than that, it's no problem.
Gotcha. I guess it's sort of like mystery shopping. It's very similar in that regard, where there are mystery shopping companies, there's merchandising companies.
Right.
Mystery shopping companies contract with your Kohl's and your Targets and your Best Buys and places like that, just like merchandising companies contract with those same organizations.
That's correct.
So I see how all of this, is beginning to fit together, which I think is actually pretty cool. Well, thinking of that, I know that when mystery shoppers are going out there and they're mining or looking for jobs, a lot of times they'll go out to job boards or forums or places just to kind of see what's happening out there, to see if they can get in on any of the mystery shopping action. Are there forums and job boards out there for merchandising like there are for mystery shopping?
There definitely are. The most sought at one now is called NARMS, NARMS. It stands for National Association for Retail Marketing Services. And believe it or not, this has for merchandisers as well as mystery shoppers on it.
Oh, really?
Yes, it has a little bit of everything on it. So this has, right at this time, they have 174 member companies who listed on their job board who just do for merchandising.
Wow, 174 member companies who list on their board that just do merchandising.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Wow, that's
this
pretty
is all over the United States, so,
Yes, yes, okay.
Some of them do in the north, some in the south. Some just do in certain areas, some do all over the United States.
Yeah. Wow, that's a pretty nice resource. So, okay, for all of you who are on the call on this teleconference tonight who think you might want to begin to check out some of the jobs that are out there, et cetera, Judy's just shared with us a really great resource, and it's the NARMS, NARMS website. That's National Association of Retail. What's the rest
marketing
of it, Judy?
Marketing Services.
Marketing Services, National Association of Retail Marketing Services is just a really fantastic place to go. Pop that into your computer browser. Have Google search it up for you. It'll probably bring up the website, which brings me to my next question, Judy, and that is, do you have to be a member of NARMS in order to go onto that website to look for jobs?
No, you don't. You don't have to be a member to go on it and look for jobs. And it doesn't cost to be a member. You just have to register with them, which I'm registered with them. And as a result of that, I get emails anytime that they have a job posted that is in my area, that I've listed, of the type of work I want to do and the area I live in or will go to.
Nice. That's very nice. And it makes it convenient, especially if you're out, you've got a smartphone, you get your emails on your smartphone or whatever, you get notification that there's action going on out there. You can jump on it right away and sort of be the early bird who's catching the worm. So that's kind of a nice service. I like that. I really do. And it's also nice that you don't have to pay to get that information.
Never pay to get anything like that. That's one thing I'd like to say about, which I'm sure you always tell them about mystery shopping also. Mystery shopping and merchandising, you should never pay to. There's too many free sites out there that you should never have to pay to get any of that. There's too many free.
I agree. I agree. And I know, you know, from time to time, especially as people are just getting started in the business, they might be contacted by some company that tells them to sign up and pay, you know, $5 or $25. And I know that we here at Market Viewpoint have gotten calls once in a while where, you know, people say, geez, I registered with you guys and I haven't gotten any shops. And we have to say, I'm really sorry, you know, you didn't register with us. We never make people pay to get into our database. So, but yeah, it is a disappointment, I think, for people who pay and they don't get any work out of it. But, you know, that's not those companies are not in it to help mystery shoppers. They're in it to make a buck. And so I think it really pays. I wouldn't say that they're scam artists because they are giving you, you know, legitimate information. But quite frankly, it's legitimate information that anybody can find on the web. So I'm with you, Judy. I wouldn't ever pay to get to get into a database or pay to get that kind of information. So it's really nice that an organization like NARMS exists out there. So, and that's a really good resource. So, you know, just as I was reading through your book, I was wondering whether as a merchandiser, because we as mystery shoppers, you know, generally we work alone. We're undercover. You know, sometimes we can take our children. Sometimes we go with a partner if we're doing a restaurant shop or something like that. But do merchandisers work alone, or are merchandisers a part of a team?
Okay. Merchandisers, it's the same as mystery shoppers. We can't take along family or just anyone that's going to be around. But sometimes we work individually according to what kind of work we're doing. Now, there's lots of levels of the merchandiser's work. On some levels, there's just a point of going in and putting a hang tag around little jars of maybe ketchup or something gets your advertising on it. Or you'll see a little thing on this bottle presented at the register. A merchandiser goes in and puts those on. Then of course, it needs only one person for that. Though if you work for several merchandising companies, and then there's that gets just specific work done, such as they just do resets. They just go in stores and just maybe change up seasonal items, like when it changes from fall or from winter to the spring things, or like when they change a whole set of items like in cosmetics when they're changing over from their fall and winter colors over to the spring colors.
Okay.
Maybe you take a couple or more to do that.
Right. Okay. You know, I was again in a grocery store. This was probably a couple of months ago, even before you and I started talking about doing this teleconference together. And I remember going down one of the aisles. It was the aisle where they have all of the air fresheners and all that kind of stuff, sort of near the paper goods and those kinds of things. And I was going down the aisle, and I happened to notice there were two women who were pulling all kinds of product off the shelves, and they were putting the product into a grocery cart. And my first thought was, I wonder if those items are being discontinued. But then, you know, after reading your book, I realized that it's possible that maybe they were moving the items to another area of the store, or maybe they were just cleaning. You know, I don't know. But it was one of those things that, you know, really caught my eye and caught my attention because they were feverishly working, you know, to try to pull this product off the shelf and either get new product to replace it or move it or whatever it was that they were doing. But all I can say is they really seemed to know what they were doing, so they must have read your book.
I doubt they were just cleaning it to pull the shelves, because I've never seen that happen, because I've never gone in to do a reset or anything where the shelves have been anywhere near clean. That's one thing you can count on. When you get ready to do a job, you better be ready to clean the shelves.
There you go.
That's another thing my husband points out. He never sees me work at home like I do on the job. Of course, my shelves are never as dirty at home as they are on the job.
There you go. Well, I'm always amazed at how incredibly dusty stores get. And I guess it's because of all of the, you know, the activity and the movement, you know, of customers in the stores. So,
well, that and the fact that they use these sweepers that sweep all this dust up, and it flies up in the air and then just settles on these shelves every night. They sweep those duster things.
Oh, yes, yes,
run around
yes.
the stores.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. What do they call them, Swiffers or feather dusters or whatever the heck?
No, those big moving things that sweep the floors.
Oh, the ones that sweep the floors. Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking
big,
about.
Huge
yeah,
vacuum
sort of
like
buffers.
Cleaners.
Yes, yes, yes.
It more stirs the dust up, seems like, than anything else.
Yes, yes.
And it just stirs it up on the shelves.
Exactly. You know, you mentioned something that I thought was really interesting, Judy, and that's the fact that, you know, you're not only moving product, but the other thing that merchandisers do, which really struck me again, you know, after reading your book, is the fact that there is an incredible amount of advertising that goes on in the store aisle. You know, it probably starts on television or it starts in a magazine, but it really continues once a consumer gets into a store. And, you know, like you said, all of the hang tags and all of the little tags that jut out, you know, from a shelf to kind of catch your attention. And I guess probably a big part of it is the fact that we have so many products that we can choose from. I mean, we're just really, you know, very blessed, certainly here in this country, to have the number of products to choose from that we do. And it just amazes me the importance of the merchandiser in really continuing with those marketing efforts, you know, that start on TV for a product. You know, whether it be, you know, proper placement of, you know, pricing, or whether it be, you know, a big arrow that points to a product or special bins of products.
Yes. One of the things my teenage children at the time, got very upset with me about and insisted I quit doing was, Mom, I don't want anyone from my school to see you down on your hands and knees sticking those things to the floor because you saw down in your grocery store and seen these things stuck to the floor in front of the freezer section advertising a certain product or stuck in front of the bread section or cereal.
Yeah,
my children,
okay.
Hey.
A merchandiser does that too.
Right. And merchandiser does that too.
That's pretty wild. That is pretty wild. And I know exactly what you're talking about. There are those great big gigantic decals that are on the store floor. And it just amazes me how stores are using every available inch of real estate to advertise products. So that's really pretty
amazing.
Most
people wouldn't think those things included in merchandising also.
Yeah. Wow, that's really neat. Well, how are you treated when you're in a store doing your job as a merchandiser? I mean,
okay, the employees love you. They're tickled to death to have a few things that they don't have to do.
Oh, that's great.
The managers, the actual store managers, they're usually real happy to have you there. Every now and then, you'll run into a department manager that is sure he or she could have done it better themselves if they'd have just given them the chance.
Oh,
but
you're kidding.
We know better, of course.
Yeah.
you really don't have a problem with that, except usually the first time you show them you know what you're doing, you never have a problem after that. So, But it's not really a problem. It's just they give you a little frown or two. They don't interfere with your work at all, though.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had any of them interfere with my work. They just give me a frown or two.
Do they? Well, what about customers? I mean, how do you avoid, you know, I know on more than one occasion I have gone up to somebody that I think is a store employee, and they're a merchandiser, and I'll say to them, can you tell me where the ketchup is or where the, you know, root beer is or whatever? And, you know, they just kind of look at me and they sort of, you know, shrug their shoulders. And, you know, most of the time they'll tell me, you know, I don't work here. I'm so sorry I can't help you, but I'll see if I can find somebody who can. Usually they're very, very nice. But what about customers? How do you avoid them, I guess, is probably my first question. Because
that's what most people try to do, is avoid them. That's what they're actually supposed to do, is just say, I'm sorry, I don't work here, but I can get someone to help you. That's another one of the things I've fallen in trouble with, is can't turn down anyone. I always try to help them. So I always try to help someone, and if I can't help them immediately, though, by telling them immediately where to go to, then I see if I can find someone who can.
Gotcha. Okay. That's really nice. That really is. And I guess if you go into the store maybe an hour or two before it opens in the morning, or you know, maybe if you go in later in the evening to do a setup or a, you know, a reset if you're doing seasonal items or something like that, that's probably just a really great way to, you know, to be able to just get your job done. Because I would think that if you're stopping to answer customer questions, it sort of cuts into your profitability a little bit in terms of, you know, just being able to get your job done and how much money you're making an hour. So that's you know, that's kind of interesting.
Some stores will let you go in early. They'll let you go in when their employees go in, and then there's others that won't. It all depends on the store.
Okay. Let me just take a break here, Judy, and just do a little commercial. As once again, folks, Judy is really sharing what I think is some wonderful, wonderful nuggets of information with us on this call. And, you know, if any of you want to share what you're hearing about merchandising with those who follow you on Twitter, use that hashtag that we've created for this event. It's #MVPShop. That's M as in market, V as in view, P as in point, shop. If there are things that you're learning about the world of merchandising, certainly go on and tweet about it, because it truly is, it's just a fascinating business to be in. I mean, you go into stores and you look and you think that just miraculously things appear with the proper pricing and in the right place, and somebody had to put them there, and that's the job of all the wonderful merchandisers out there who are doing such a great job. You can also go onto our Facebook page. If any of you are fans of Market Viewpoint, or if you've liked us, or you can search for us if you haven't, and we're Market Viewpoint Shoppers. It's all one word, Market Viewpoint Shoppers, all one word, okay? You can find us, go in and search if you're not already friends with us, and yeah, you can post some of your ideas there too. We'd really love to hear from you and what you think about this call. So, all right, let's get back to the interview, shall we? And Judy, what does someone need to get started in this business? Because I bet you any amount of money, we've got people on this call who are saying, you know what, this sounds like a really, really, really great way for me to earn extra money as an independent contractor by adding this to my mystery shopping work. So what does a person need to get started, besides your book, of course?
Yes, definitely. but other than that, then if it's someone who cannot do heavy lifting, something like that, and wants to just get into the, like I discussed before, filling coupon holders, placing the coupons, placing graphics, putting up graphics on the walls, then it doesn't really require much training. They would need the use of a computer and automobile. These are the simplest jobs and the easiest to obtain.
Sounds
They're
pretty
on
simple.
There constantly.
Sounds simple. Okay. So if you want to do a little bit more, let's just say for the sake of example that you want to do a little bit more than that. Let's just say that you're in good physical shape and, you know, you've got a pretty good energy level and you like the idea of, you know, maybe combining your exercise with your work. What other kinds of things might a person need besides, you know, access to a you know, up-to-date computer and an automobile?
The next thing they're going to ask you is, can you read a planogram? Planogram shows you step by step how everything is to be laid out in the display.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Which this goes, in my book, I have an entire chapter which tells you step by step everything you need to read a planogram.
I love it.
Forward, backwards, up and down. everything there is about it. I've had several different... On jobs I've been on since I wrote this book, I've had the lead person over it that is lead in several different stores all over the eastern part of the United States. I'd have them critique that part, and they said anyone starting out in the business, what that part is all they would need to know, just to know about reading planograms to start out.
Good, good. And I would imagine that most of these merchandising companies, there's probably a supervisor or there's probably somebody that you can lean on for the first couple of jobs until you really get your sea legs.
Well, you can give them calls. They're not going to be there with you personally, but you can give them calls. But that's
right.
About the way it goes, yes.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Judy, what about the pay? I mean, what can somebody expect to earn for doing, you know, merchandising projects?
The merchandising pay is going up all the time. The more experience you get, the better reputation you achieve, the higher your pay will be. Most companies start a new person out anywhere from $8 to $12 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like much, but it's according to, like, sometimes like these hanging these tags that I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
then if it's, say, in a job's based, if it's based on, say, it's going to take you a half an hour to go in the store, hang the tags, come back, and put it in the computer on a half an hour. That's
mm-hmm.
going to be $4 for just walking in the store hanging those up. I mean, you're probably going to be in front of the computer anyway when it takes you about less than 5 minutes to put that back in.
Right.
So maybe you have four or five different stores you can do that in a day. And say you have five stores you can do that in. That's $20 more than you did have.
Right.
And it's it also at the same time, I always... I don't know about you. I always fit my grocery shopping in during that time. I always fit anything else I had to do in that time. I try to multitask as much as possible.
Too.
But anyway, if the company you work for, most companies quote, about half the time that they quote that it'll take is what it takes you to do the job.
Mm.
So you're really making about twice as much as what they say. If it's if they're quoting minute by minute on doing something that it really takes the time, then they usually pay you a higher amount. They usually pay a set amount, like $60 for something or something, a set
right.
amount.
Right. You know, I think it's probably a little bit like mystery shopping in that I know mystery shoppers will sometimes say, oh, you know, a job isn't going to pay enough, or, you know, oh, I've heard that, you know, it's really tough to do that kind of shop and it doesn't pay as much as it should, and, you know, kind of the complaints about the pay. But what I tell shoppers is that when you become really proficient at something, when you've filled the form out before and you know what's expected, or when you've done a couple of apartment shops and you know exactly what to look for and where to look for it, you're actually, you know, you're making more per hour because you've gotten better at the job. And it sounds like merchandising is no different. It sounds like it has a bit of commonality, which really brings me to my next question, and that is basically, how are merchandising and mystery shopping alike, and how are they different, and why are they such a good complement for each other? I mean, is there a conflict of interest potentially? Can a person do both?
I'm sure a lot of you heard, I won't advertise, but I was at a conference in Orlando back in the spring, and
mm-hmm.
A person came up to me, a mystery shopper came up to me and said, I'd love to do merchandising, but I can't do them in those stores because I do merchandising. I do mystery shopping there, so I can't do them there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, how better to blend in as a regular customer than them seeing someone that they see all the time anyway?
Sure.
If they're used to seeing you there, why would they ever think you're there as a mystery shopper?
Right.
If they're used to seeing you there as a merchandiser, they would never suspect you being there as a mystery shopper.
Right.
Because they're used to seeing you there all the time. It's like I was told by a mystery shopping company not long ago that I was sent to do a steakhouse shop. Said it was sooner than they usually send somebody in, and they said, take someone different this time.
Hmm.
And I said, well, my husband eats, and I eat there on a regular basis anyway, and he eats lunch there so much, they're threatened to put his name on a booth. So they would never, ever guess that we were mystery shoppers.
Yeah, they wouldn't suspect you, sure.
Never, ever in a million years.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the biggest, one of the common denominators is the fact that both of these industries actually employ independent contractors.
Both of them have independent contractors. You must work from home. You must be someone that they have to have little or no guidance from someone being right there on top of you. So you must be self-motivated. You have to be able to keep your own record keeping, your expenses, your taxes, all those kind of things. So they're lacking those ways.
Right, right.
That's one other thing that I point out in my book a lot is a lot of the different different types of deductions you could take as an independent contractor.
I love that chapter. I love, love, love that chapter. I think you did a really nice job of giving folks just a ton of things that you should consider, especially if you're going to declare, you know, that you're in a home-based business. And that's what you would have to do. I mean, you would have to take that route from a tax standpoint, declare yourself as a home-based business. And I know there are some people who are on the call who really want to stay away from that because, you know, they're fearful of being audited and they, you know, they hear that it's a red flag that if you're a home-based business, oh my gosh, you're going to get audited. But, you know, I tell people there are so many people these days that are operating home-based businesses. I'm just not sure that it's the red flag that it used to be, you know?
No, I talked with the IRS just the other day because my son's just starting into this, and they ask you the questions to make sure, yes, ask you, let me go down this list of questions to make sure you meet all these things.
The
if
criteria,
you meet them,
sure.
Yes, you're home base. You have a home offer.
Sure, sure. But I love that chapter that you give on all of those deductions because whether you're mystery shopping or whether you're merchandising or whether you're doing both, you know, that chapter on you know, legitimate tax deductions I think are just fantastic. So I even found a couple in there that I wasn't taking for my business. So thank you, Judy. I really appreciated that.
Well, you're welcome. Time every little bit helps.
So how difficult is this job? Is it dirty? Is it physical? I mean, am I going to need to invest in Advil?
No.
I'm sore every night. I mean, what does a person wear? How should a person conduct themselves? Tell us, Judy.
At times, it does get physical. You actually have to move around. You've seen these metal shelving in stores. They're sometimes 4 foot long by 2 or 3 foot wide. Sometimes it actually does involve moving them physically and cleaning them and placing them in a different direction, different location. At other times, like I said, it's going in just putting little stickers on. But, and all companies do state that you should wear business casual. Mm-hmm. I, along with most others in the industry, follow by different dress code when they're doing resets. I usually wear pants and tops that are more relaxed fit when I'm doing that.
Okay.
But there are some things you never, ever do. That is wear clothes that would expose your midriff or your back when bending, spandex, mini skirts. I wouldn't say lady, a young girl come in one time to do a reset with short shorts on.
Oh.
She was sent home. Thank goodness.
Oh, good. That would be inappropriate.
Should never come in with ratty jeans, you know, or even the ones that are made that way with holes in them. You know, never wear things like that. Even if you're not dressed business casual, as they say today, that is not the proper things to wear.
Mm-hmm.
But I consider it just dress nice. So that you fit in. Even Walmart now wears their allows their employees to wear jeans. So, you know.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to be dressed even better than they are.
Right.
That wouldn't make them feel like you're trying to be better than they are.
Right, right. Well, the gentleman that I saw in the grocery store the other week who was putting up that Easter candy display, I mean, he was wearing a pair of nice slacks. I would say that they were sort of a Dockers kind of quality. And he had on just a very nice, sort of Oxford button-down shirt, and he had on a tie. So, that's what he was comfortable in, I guess. And it's he seemed to be moving around pretty good. So I guess that would probably be a, you know, sort of a good rule of thumb, that business casual, you know, just making sure that you're neat and clean, that, you know, you've got a nice haircut, that your breath is fresh.
But you don't have a lot of tattoos showing, a lot of nose piercings,
right,
things like that.
Right. Exactly, exactly. And just using, I guess, good common professional sense in the way
you look in the mirror. You look in the mirror when you get ready to go out, and if things look like they should, like you think they look, if clothes look too tight or too skimpy to you, then they are.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably a really good rule of thumb. Judy, if people have questions about this business, about the merchandising business, you know, how can they contact you?
They can send me an email. They can send me an email, and I'll be glad to answer any questions for them.
Okay. Would you be willing to share your email on this call?
Go ahead and give them my email.
Okay.
I hate to say it because my daughter always makes fun of my email, even though it's my even though it's my name. My email address is
your email is
J as in Judith.
Yes.
K as in Karen.
Yes.
A as in Adkins. S as in Spears. 0301@bellsouth.net.
Great. So that's J as in Judith, K as in Karen, A as in Adkins, S as in Spears, 0301@bellsouth.net. Now, one of the things that I might suggest, because you know how we all get so much spam, I might suggest that you put merchandising information in the subject line so that Judy knows that you've got a question about the merchandising business and that she might be able to help, and she won't go through and pop your email into the deleted file because she thinks it's spam. So I would put merchandising info in the subject line, and again, it's J as in Judy, K as in Karen, A as in Adkins, S as in Spears, 0301@bellsouth.net. Now, we've got a very special surprise. But first, what I want to do is I want to say that one of the things that I really love about your book, Judy, first of all, is number one, that it's great for anybody who's even remotely interested in knowing what merchandising is all about. I mean, I just loved it. Second, the last two chapters in your book are dedicated to helping someone who's interested in merchandising get jobs. You talk about resume writing.
This could be for any job, any shop job.
Right, and that's the part that I love about this. The resume writing, interviewing techniques and tips, whether it's telephone interviewing, because some merchandising companies interview by phone, others interview in person, just how to present yourself at a job interview. I love those chapters, and the reason that I do is because I know that some of our listeners are between jobs right now. I mean, our economy is still sort of, you know, sputtering out there. It's really not going full tilt yet. I mean, I know that there are some indicators saying that we're improving. But some of the people on the call, you know, have spouses or significant others who are struggling to find jobs. And still others have children that are going to be graduating from college in another couple of months and are going to be looking for their very first jobs. And quite honestly, I say this, Judy, even if you're not interested in the merchandising part of this, buy this book because those last two chapters are worth their weight in gold for anybody who needs to have their job-seeking skills tuned up a little bit. So, I say get the book. But let's just share our little special surprise for the folks who are actually – you know, on this call with us and they're listening in, how can they snag a copy of your book? You know, I know that you're on Amazon.com, but I know that you also have a special offer for people tonight.
Okay. To make it a little easier for them and a little easier for them to get and a little bit less expensive, the first 100 that email me at this email that we gave them earlier, mm-hmm. Then for $15 with shipping included, I will send them this book. Now, it's the list price is $19.99, but for $15 shipping included for the first 100, then I will send them a copy of this book.
Oh, Judy, that's so generous. That really is. Because you all know, you all on this call know how postage is going up, and certainly postage, you know, in terms of sending books and things like that. I mean, you know, it just keeps going up. So, Judy, that's really a very generous offer that you just made. So you heard it. You heard it, folks. Judy just suggested that for the first 100 people who contact her, she will send you her book for $15. It includes shipping and handling. You can email her at J as in Judy, K as in Karen, A as in Adkins, and S as in Spears. JKAS0301@bellsouth.net. And put, "I want your book" in the subject line. Okay, "I want your book." So I think people are really going to enjoy it. You know, it's another option for all of us to think about. You know, for those who are looking for ways, you know, we're out and about, gas prices keep going up, and we keep thinking to ourselves, and I think you said it best, Judy, you know, we're all looking for ways to be able to multitask while we're out there. You know, how much can we get done? How much money can we make on a tank of gas? And so if you're already out there mystery shopping, I want to encourage people to think about merchandising as something else that they want to add to their resume. The other thing is, you know, if you're already merchandising, think about putting mystery shopping as a part of some of the things that you're doing out there. And here's the other thing that I think is really great about these two industries, or these two job responsibilities within an industry. You know, certainly with mystery shopping, you know, there are some shoppers out there who specialize. You know, we've got some shoppers in our database who only like doing apartment shops. There are others who only want to do retail. There are others, you know, who only want to do restaurants. And then we have some shoppers who love doing all of it. Merchandising is no different. Judy tells me that if there's only one type of function that you want to do as a merchandiser, you can certainly specialize. You know, you don't have to do it all. If there are tasks that you don't think that you would enjoy, or tasks that maybe you've tried and you don't want to do again, that's perfectly okay. As an independent contractor, you have the option to be able to pick and choose the kinds of jobs that you do, which, again, is something that makes merchandising and mystery shopping so much alike and really such a nice complement for each other. So, Judy, that's really all the time that we have on this call. So what I want to do is I just want to thank you for being with us and for sharing all
this. Thank you very much, Angel, for having me.
Yeah, it was great. It really was. I want to just remind folks that if they want to follow us on Twitter, we would love, love, love to have you do that. You can find us at http://twitter.com/#!/market viewpoint. Or you can probably just go in and search for Market Viewpoint and we'll probably come up. You can also follow us on Facebook. We post special shops there. We have discussions. We run contests. So join the fun and please hang out with us there. We'd certainly love to have you be one of our friends on Facebook. And again, you can find us at facebook.com/MarketViewpointShoppers. That's Market Viewpoint Shoppers, all one word. Our next free teleconference is on Thursday, April the 12th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's going to be our half an hour format where we focus on your questions as mystery shoppers. Mark your calendars now. It's April 12th. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If some of you want to email me questions in advance, I would certainly love to hear from you. I'm at angela@marketviewpoint.com. You can also, as soon as we announce the event, you'll be able to, and you register, you'll be able to go into the pre-event screen, and on the left-hand side, there's a little box down there where you can sort of put your questions in ahead of time, you know, if you want. And I always welcome folks to call during the call so that we can interact person to person. That's always fun, and I always love doing that, especially in this age of technology where nobody seems to talk to anybody anymore unless it's through a keyboard. We're also going to be sending all of you a recording of tonight's call so you can refer to the information we shared as often as you need to. I know that we gave you a lot of really great info tonight, and you're probably going to want to go back and listen to certain parts of the interview that I just had with Judith Atkins Spears, who wrote the book on merchandising, and it's called Jumpstart Your Merchandising Career. Judy, again, I want to thank you for your time for being on this call. Your experience as a merchandiser is just positively amazing. I mean, you just blow me away with the information that you've acquired over the years, and I'm really, really grateful that you took the time out of what I know is a really busy schedule to share your knowledge with all of us and to make that really generous book offer for the first 100 people who contact you. So thank you, everybody. Until we have a chance to connect again on our next call on April 12th, keep being unstoppable.